Blog Talk Radio.
Rap Sick Radio, premiere, twisting internet radio, listen here, you're rocking the best Thursday night on air, urban music, culture, lifestyle, yeah, brownsugarradio.com, every Thursday, keep your internet on, brownsugarradio.com, every Thursday, keep your internet on, brownsugarradio, premiere, twisting internet radio, listen here, you're rocking the best Thursday night on air, urban music, culture, lifestyle, yeah, brownsugarradio.com, every Thursday, keep your internet on. Brown Sugar Radio is the premier choice in internet radio. You're rocking with the best every Thursday night. Live in urban music, culture, and lifestyle. That's right, www.brownsugarradio.com. Come on, keep your internet on.
Brown Sugar, brown, brown sugar. Brown Sugar, brown sugar radio. Brown Sugar, brown, brown sugar.
Keep your internet on.
Brown Sugar, brown, brown sugar. Brown Sugar, Brown Sugar Radio.
B-R-O-W-N-S-U-G-A. Go run and tell the DJ. Hitting the Vegas and hitting worldwide. Brown Sugar Radio is all the way live. Let's shake the world. Good night.
What's poppin', Brown Sugar Radio lore listeners? Welcome back to another exciting segment on the live show on the internet, Brown Sugar Radio. And tonight, our special guest is none other. I want to tell you a little bit before I bring her live. We have a very, very special treat in store for all of my loyal listeners tonight. You know, one thing about this special guest, I want to tell you that I was really, really moved by listening to her show. And one thing that I love the most is when I see another sister out there doing her thing, you know, being inspirational in her life and allowing God to use her through the gifts that he anointed her with. I want to tell you a little bit about Natasha David Walker, all right, who is the author of Sex and the Saints. Tonight she's going to teach us that living a life that is pleasing to God as a single person certainly does have its privileges, all right? So get your notebooks ready, all right? Write it down and take some notes and learn, because Natasha is certainly going to keep it raw and uncut, which I love about this beautiful sister, okay? Natasha was born in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. She was raised in Atlanta, graduated from Columbus State University, and then went on, let me tell you how ambitious this sister is, went on to get her master's degree at the University of Memphis. The mother of two, and happily married. I want to give it up tonight for our special guest of the evening, Natasha David Walker. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio.
Brown Sugar, thank you so much. You know how to make a sister feel real warm, and I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know how to make a sister feel like she's done something.
Girl, you have. You have, okay? We welcome you on in. First guest, first time, first appearance on Brown Sugar Radio. All right, so I'm excited, you know, and I just have to say that my switchboard is excited too because it won't stop. All right, there we go. All
be,
right,
that can be good or that can be bad. So you loaded tonight. You're a loaded pistol.
All right, saved and satisfied is our topic of tonight. Y'all know that Brown Sugar always has topics that are controversial, but yet they're real and they need to be discussed. So tonight, I want to let you know that this topic is certainly not to offend or put down anyone, all right? We want to uplift and we want to inspire anyone who is seeking a life that is pleasing to God. But one thing that I find very, very controversial, especially in the church, is the topic of sex. And when you mention being single and sex, sometimes it has a tendency to have that awkwardness or that sense of uncomfortableness. So I invited Tasha to be our special guest tonight. And Tasha, you are at home on Brown Sugar Radio. Feel free, all right, to let the truth be heard, because I just feel it's important that we keep it real, and we make sure that our listeners tonight are well-informed and educated, all right, on choices that they make. And I just have to say that, you know, I think it's beautiful that you've lived both as a single woman in the church, as well as a married woman in the church, and a single woman that prior to being saved, and you can relate to all sides of the fence.
Absolutely.
And that it's important. It's very important. And so with your history of, you know, just being such an inspirational author and the book, I want to ask you, what was it that, you know, God put in your spirit for you to write a book about sex and the saints?
First, girl, let me say thank you and kudos to you, Brown Sugar. I love the title of your show. You and I, we had instant rapport with one another. I've been on your site. Your topics are off the chain. And I just want to encourage everyone to support you out west, as I enjoy listening and talking with people from all over the United States. It's a good thing to support one another. And so thanks so much for having me on the show. I appreciate that first question so much, because the idea to write this book was not my own. You asked what inspired me, and it was Holy Spirit inspired. The bottom line is my undergrad degree was in biology. I had ambitions of being a doctor. And as I moved through my undergrad education, I realized that HIV was becoming a major problem. And I just felt in my spirit that it was going to be a major problem in the African-American community, largely because there are so many issues already present to make something like HIV just explode. Poverty, you know, absent fathers, single moms raising children. You know, there's just drugs, so many dynamics there. It's like throwing, you know, a match on gasoline. And so I was really, really moved in my spirit to speak to the issue of HIV and AIDS from the perspective of what's really going on. And I combined Sex and the Saints off of a play on words from Sex and the City. I was a fan, and I thought, wow, this is a really interesting concept. A girl who's a writer living in New York City, she's telling stories about her friends and their sexual escapades, and people are really buying into this. And I looked around myself as a Christian, and I realized me and my friends did the same thing. We had escapades when we were, you know, out there, and we were involved before we got married, and I had just as many, if not had heard many stories that were similar to Sex in the City. And so with the concept from Sex in the City in mind and the issue of HIV/AIDS, and I would say the denial the church was in general and not wanting to talk about it, as you said, it prompted me to really just kind of expose things, not because, oh, I'm going to just tell on people. I allowed people to send in their stories, and the stories I thought were the best stories was people who had really gone through some real issues, abuse, you know, and all kinds of things. I guess we'll get into that a little later about the different chapters. But, you know, it was Holy Spirit inspired, and the whole point is to bring the church out of its closet.
Okay. I know that's right. And that's exactly what I felt like God led me to do when he made this divine intervention between us. You know, and it's something that is not talked about enough. We kind of sweep it under the rug and go on about our business. But the reality of it is that we have, you know, more teenage pregnancies and more, you know, whether it's homosexuality or, you know, just all different types of issues that we're dealing with that we have to address, and we have to let it be known, you know, okay, these are the choices that you make, but these are the consequences behind them. Even the down low brothers, you know what I'm saying? It's real. And we got to talk about it.
And you know what I love, Brown Sugar, is that the people who submitted the stories, they told the stories from their perspective. It's not Natasha putting her spin on it. So there's no judgment. There's no, ooh, that's a shame. These are people telling their stories of how they ended up, where they ended up because of things that happened in their lives, whether it was rape, whether it was abuse, or whether it was they got on drugs and they ended up, you know, being tricked out, or they always wanted to walk on the wild side and they got to walking over there and just couldn't get back. This isn't me putting a spin on it. These are people telling their real stories, and because they're telling it from their perspective, there's no judgment. Sometimes in the church, we can be, like, really judgmental. People don't want to come out. They don't want to tell you where they've been because they think you'll look down on them. But I'm hoping that the way the authors have told their stories and the way we tied it in, people won't feel judged. They will feel relieved and want to talk about these things that have occurred.
That's right. That's right. You know, and I truly believe that, you know, it's the reason that, you know, we have had so much chaos, rather it's the lack of knowledge or the lack of, you know, maybe absent parenting, you know, someone really not there to kind of guide and inform you of the choices you make in life. And I've always believed that we are where we are in this life because of the choices that we've made or the choices that we've allowed others to make for us. And so, you know, it's important. Knowledge is power. Education is vital, you know, to possibly even your livelihood, you know, as you existing as a human being, you know, the longevity of your lifespan if you do not take care of your body, and our body is a temple. So we have to make sure that we're caring for our bodies the way that God designed the body to be cared for. And being promiscuous, you know, and having sex with multiple partners is just truly unhealthy for your body, you know. And that's something that we have to bring a strong awareness to, you know. And I just believe that, especially as women, because our bodies were designed, you know, to carry children, and as we get older, you know, we have more problems with our bodies if you don't take care of it, and if you're out being promiscuous, you know, then what are you going to give your husband by the time you get married if you're all used up?
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right. And you know,
so,
the concept of a temple is really the bottom line to everything. Because, you know, as Christians, we believe that God speaks to us through our minds, through our spirits, through our bodies, which, as the Bible says, belongs to Him. And if there's interference because there's a spirit there from someone else, or there's interference because of drugs or alcohol abuse, if there's interference, then the Holy Spirit can't properly communicate with us, which means we're not one with God. We're not one with Christ. And when we're not one with Him, how do we make good decisions? How do we know who our husband is? How do we know which path to take, you know? And so, you're right, our bodies are temples. And until we get to the point where we realize this is not just flesh, God actually designed my body, my mind, my soul, and spirit as a place for communication and communing with Him, we're really going to be kind of out of the spiritual loop.
Yeah, that's right, you know. And I think that one of the strong points that you made is that these are actual stories. This is real. This is not a fiction or a novel, okay? You put together actual facts and statistics that have proven, you know, exactly what it is that you're putting out there in regards to sex and the saints. And so what I'd like to get into a little bit before we get more into the book, as far as you personally, you know, your walk, if you can share with us your personal experiences as a single woman, you know, and you know, at that moment, what made you decide to make that change? As far as, you know what, God, I'm going to give it to you. Here I am, you know. This is what you're working with, Lord, but, you know, clean me, you know, purify me. Make me what you need me to be.
Well, when I went out to college, like most girls, I was clean, green, naive, and just a little roaring machine. I had no idea, you know, the kind of things that were out there. I had largely been sheltered. My parents were church-going folks. When the church opened, they were there. When it closed, we were all there. So my experience had been largely about the church, period, point blank. And so college was the first interaction I had with young ladies and men who had had experiences that were intimate in terms of relationships with males and females. And so I had made up in my mind, you know, I was going to save mine for Jesus, as Marvin Gaye says in his song, Sanctified Woman. But, you know, for every girl who says no, there's a man out there trying to persuade you to say yes. And right now, parents just sent kids away to college. And right now, as we're having this conversation on Blog Talk Radio, the Brown Sugar Show, some girl is being seduced or tricked and hoodwinked into trading something precious. And what most of us don't realize is once you open it, it is over. You never get a do-over in terms of that first time. Sure, God forgives, he sanctifies, he purifies, and he restores. So if you have, you know, made that awful mistake, you know, it's not the end of the world. But certainly, if you have not, then consider this. Once you open that package, once the gift is unwrapped, there's no rewrapping and presenting it to someone as if it has not been unwrapped. And so, like most girls, I went away to college very green, and I started hanging out with a group of kids who were smoking. And I had never smoked, drank, or had sex, so I was just really the green person on the block. I had one group of friends who were like, no, we're going to shield you from everything. You haven't done anything. You came here this way. We want you to graduate and leave this way. And then I had another group of friends who were so deluded and delusional. They were smoking pot and what have you. They didn't really think about shielding me. They thought more about enticing me to do what they did. So, you know, the first rule of thumb for me and for any girl who is contemplating some decisions, if they're sexual in nature and you're not married, is look around you. Because a lot of times we're influenced to do things because we think everybody else is doing it. Everybody is not doing it, just some of the people around you perhaps, but everybody is never doing everything. Everybody's not smoking weed. Everybody's not having sex. Everybody's not getting drunk and staying out after curfew. And so I kind of got caught up in the wrong crowd. And then, as you know, once you get caught up, it's really difficult to pull back out because addiction set up. And so I went down this path of addiction to the alcohol and the drugs. And then, of course, once you have the drugs in your system and the alcohol, your inhibitions and your judgment is just skewed. I mean, you don't make good decisions because you're not yourself. Alcohol absolutely clouds your judgment. It's just, it's what it does. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel out of body, different, not like yourself. So if you're not like yourself, then you're not going to think rationally. You might know something's going down, but you're not going to make the same decision you would have made if you were not intoxicated. And so I had a history of abuse when I was a child, and some of it was emotional. Some of it was physical, and some of it was sexual. And so, you know, when you have those things in your historicity, the enemy watches your life, and you have to be very careful, stay close to God, because he will bring people in your inner circle to fan that junk up. And once those spirits start communicating with you through the drugs and the alcohol, the sky's the limit. The devil doesn't play to take you out for a minute. He plays for keeps. He wants all or nothing, same as God. He wants, they both want all or nothing. It's just that when the devil's done with you, he throws you back, you know, with nothing, and he has no plan of restoring you, whereas God restores. And so I've been, you know, a person who was in the church, going to church, and fornicating, you know, and not thinking any ways about it, asking God to forgive me, feeling stuck. And, you know, not having the strength to say no. I've been in relationships with people, and, you know, I thought, oh, this person is the one, so I can commit and give myself to him differently because I'm going to marry him, only to realize you can't give yourself to anyone until you know yourself. And most of us don't get to know who we really are until we're in our late 20s. And unfortunately, by that time, we've been interacting with so many people, we really are confused then because everybody brings their spirit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they bring their spirit and they leave it. Men make deposits into us. They leave their spirits. So when God had to put me on a spiritual detox program, and I went through a place where I was just 7 years straight celibate. No alcohol, no drugs, no wine, no sipping and tipping, just me and God, just restoring and just, he was just washing me. You know, the story of Esther in the Bible is really beautiful because before she met that prince, everybody talks about being Esther and wanting to meet the prince, but nobody wants to go through the cleaning up process. And before Esther met that prince, in the Bible it says she was soaked with myrrh and perfumes. And what that really symbolizes is that before God brings you to your prince, he has to cleanse you and clean you up and make you fresh, smelling good for the right man, for that prince.
Sometimes it requires
being by yourself. So if you're by yourself right now, maybe you should just lay back in the tub, soak up some body oils, let God perfume you, cleanse you, and make you perfect for your prince.
Ooh, you better preach, girl, okay? I like that because it's just truly letting a woman know, fall in love with yourself first. Have a life before you become a wife. You know what I'm saying? Invest in yourself, girl. I like that. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You just are really, really ministering to us tonight because I know somebody needs to hear this. And the listeners in the chat, I want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have author, beautiful Tasha, and she's talking about her book, Sex and the Saints, and what inspired her to write such a fascinating book that is very educational. It's a self-help, spiritual, enlisting book, all right? This is not no fairy tale that we're talking about tonight. We are putting it on out there because we want for you to certainly have an awareness of what's happening, all right, with saints and the church, okay? And, you know, the ironic thing, even though the show tonight is on singles, we have married people also that face challenges as far as sex. And that's one of the things I liked about your book. You don't only just talk about being single, but you talk about sex as a whole with the church, because one of the let me back up here. Last week we had a show, and it was on creeping in the church house, all right? And we kind of touched on it a bit for married and single. And, you know, my thing that I said, and I'm going to let you know because I want to keep it real, I felt you should not get married just for sex. I understand that God wants us to live a life that is pleasing in his sight, all right? But I don't think that should be the sole reason, you know, that you get married, to just so that you can have sex. Because then, you know, especially if you don't know this person that well. And one thing that I don't like about Christians is that we tend to marry very fast, all right? And I'm not being judgmental. I'm just stating from what I've seen. And I just feel that in a matter of 2 weeks or a matter of a month, you know, you don't truly know that person. You know what I'm saying? And yes, then I was hit with, well, sugar, you know, what about back in the olden days when our grandparents used to date and they married only, you know, they married only after knowing each other a few weeks and they were married for years.
Yeah, but they didn't have E.T. and Jay-Z and Beyonce and all this magazines. I mean, they didn't have all that stuff tugging at their spirits, you know.
Girl, thank you. Okay, what are your thoughts on that as far as Christians that get married for sex?
Girl, let me say this from personal experience. Again, I reiterate, I've been in the church single, not saved, and having sex. I've been in the church single and saved and being celibate, and now I'm married. Don't marry for sex, because when the light bill is due and you don't have the money, no amount of sex is going to keep the lights on. Not having the right amount of money in your marital situation creates tensions that not even sex can overcome. That's one. Number two, don't marry for sex. Marry someone who is connected to God, because you and this stranger, that's what you are. It's two strangers coming together to live under one roof. You and this stranger could not possibly get along unless God is in the middle of that marriage. All the sex in the world won't overcome the fact that he leaves the toilet up, drops his dirty underwear and socks on the floor, wants to watch TV, hangs out with his boys. You know, and I'm not saying these things are going on in my marriage. These are things, as a writer, I've heard and I've just collectively put together in order to give people useful advice. So sex can't save you from this stranger that you don't know. And, of course, let me be fair here. Men, from this girl who's irresponsible, doesn't know how to pay bills, would rather buy a pair of shoes than pay the bills, doesn't want to take care of the kids because she still wants to hang out in the club with her girlfriends, is still communicating with her ex-boyfriend when she has problems in the marriage. Sex can't save you from that. Only God can. So there are things that are more important than sex. Somebody needs to be financially stable and smart. Somebody needs to be connected with God, preferably the man, because he is the priest in the household. And, of course, sex can't save you when the children come into the marriage and it brings in a whole different level of interruption and time commitments, constraints, and strains on a marriage. Sex doesn't save that. You know, sex is like the dessert. Where are you going to get that full course meal? That's the balanced marriage that is financially stable, connected with God, two people who enjoy some of the same things, so you don't have those arguments about where you're going and why you got to hang with the boys or your girls because y'all enjoy the same things. There are things that are so much more important than sex. If you don't get that straightened out on the front end, sex will not save you. Believe me, sex won't save you.
Okay, that's it. You know, and I'm so glad you said that, because it's something that I see way too often, you know, where, you know, couples are getting married way too fast just so they can have sex, you know, or if someone ends up pregnant, they get married. You know, another big no-no, I feel, you know.
Exactly.
You just don't, it's just certain things you just, in my opinion, don't do. Also, too, I believe that as a single woman, you should not get married just because of the fact that the brother's saved. Because, you know, you never know what his walk may be in the Lord. Is he newly saved? You know, is he a baby Christian? Is he, you know what I mean, a more seasoned Christian? Has he been there for a while? Does he know how to pray? You know, does he know God's word the way that you do? Does he view you as Christ loved the church? It's so many things that we have to look at as women and men now, because I'm not only going to put it out there for women. There's men out there that are looking for a mate and looking for a good woman. And, you know, when they go to church, they may not be finding that. They may not find, you know, that woman that is of equal value as them. And one thing I want to share is that for the listeners tonight, when you're looking for a mate, for those of you who are single, you want to look for a mate that is equal, equally yoked, you know, a mate that's on your level, you know, and it will just, in my opinion, make the marriage even that much more satisfying, you know. But I wanted to kind of just get more into, certainly one of the best things that I find is that when you say a man or a woman has God in their life, I do believe that God can certainly work through any issue you may have. So I'm not trying to condemn anybody tonight if you're newly married and you just got married within a matter of weeks. I'm not saying run out and get a divorce because you didn't know him that well. What I'm saying is that, okay, now you're in it. You've made this covenant before God. So it's up to you to put in the work necessary that it takes to make that marriage successful. And
right.
Certainly Natasha's going to, you know, give us some more insight on that. But I just want to say that, you know, one of the things that I admire is your honesty. You put it out there and you let us know tonight that, listen, I was a sister in the church and I was out there doing my thing and I wasn't proud of it, but I'm real and I'm upfront with the topic. So you can let us know that, hey, I've been through this. This is what I dealt with, but this is where I'm at right now, and this is the result of that outcome. So thank you so much for being honest, because do you know how many sisters that it is that are ashamed to admit that they were fornicating in the church, trying to cover it up?
And you know what's interesting, Sugar, is that's what the devil wants. He wants you to be ashamed, because shame is not from God. Shame comes from Satan. And as long as he can shame you into silence, your testimony never comes forth. Somebody else needs to hear it. The scriptural premise for the book is Revelation 12:11, and it says, they overcame him, talking about Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, which you know God shed for us on Calvary, and the word of their testimony. In other words, we're going to get over Satan and all the things he did to us through, you know, people who tripped us up, or through bad habits we picked up and addictions, whether they were sexual, drug addiction, or alcohol addictions, all of those negative things that came into our lives, we're going to overcome it by telling somebody about it. there's so much strength, and it's like a release. The book writing for me was cathartic. I won't tell you which story, but one of the stories is my own story. And the interesting thing about it is the more I wrote, the closer I became, I came to God in a different way. It was almost like he was walking back through those places with me. And I learned something as I began to travel and tell people about my life story. And men would come up to me and say, you know what, as you spoke, I felt something lifted off of me. When I was a little boy, my mother's boyfriend molested me, and I've always felt so ashamed about it. I never wanted to tell anybody. But tonight when you were telling your story, I just felt such victory. I just wanted to tell someone. I don't know how many men have come up to me and said, I got released because you told your testimony. And so we have to realize the authority we have over Satan lies not in being quiet. I'm going to be quiet so nobody knows who I really am. The authority is that everybody knows who we really are, because honestly, everything that we've done in the dark is coming to the light. The Bible says there's nothing that's been hidden that won't be revealed. So you can tell your story now and get the victory and end up in heaven, or you can keep it in, end up in hell, and then everybody finds out later on when we get to heaven why you didn't make it. So don't think that we're not going to know what, you know, you were doing in the closet. Everything's coming out. Tell it now, smash the snake's head, and get victory and get strength. Because if you're still struggling with something, the only way you're going to get over it is by letting it go. That is the purpose of therapy. That is the purpose of these, you know, groups that get together. But you can do it on your own. It's as simple as telling the truth. Stop faking the funk. And I'm talking about Christian people, because we are notorious mask wearers. We love to put on our beautiful clothing, higher shoes, and wear our nice designer outfits. I drive our nice cars. We hide behind our degrees, our status, our husbands, wives, our families, names, and status. But the reality is, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and on our best day, we're like a filthy rag. So for all the dressing up we do, trying to parade and hide and masquerade to others, God is looking at us from heaven like, that is so pitiful. If only she or he would just break out and be who they really are. It's like a weight. You're carrying around weight by pretending. Girl. And so for me, whether you're the pastor or whether you're the usher at the door, from the church, from the pulpit, back to the porch, as the Bible says, we need to be weeping between the porch and the altar and just unloading this junk. We need to unload all these sexual issues.
Girl, okay, you letting it loose tonight, all right? I like that. We are truly just being blessed tonight by your truthful, you know, spirit and the ministering that you're doing tonight. We need that. And I just want to say that your story that you're telling us tonight, you know what I mean? It's really, it's moving to see that you have such a strong passion to help the lives of so many other saints that are struggling with this tonight. And I just want to say that I think that God, well, I know, I don't even like to say that word thing. I know that God is using you to continue, you know what I'm saying, to be a light and to bring others out of darkness. Don't hide. Don't be ashamed. Certainly tonight, and there's listeners in the chat room, they're feeling what you have to say tonight, Natasha. And what we're going to do is take a quick commercial break. We are at a halfway point of the segment, and so I can't wait for the second half. Certainly, those of you, do not touch that dial, all right, or click that mouse, as I normally say, because we're going to talk about Natasha's detox. For those of you who are just joining us, I'd like to shout out real quick in the chat room. We have Beautiful Butterfly, Cheryl Harfield, Ed Lips, several anonymous guests, James 365, and then we also have Capricorn King. For those of you joining us tonight, thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio. All of our Facebook listeners that are joining us via Facebook, and we can't see you in the chat, I want to say thank you for joining us, because this show is certainly a divine appointment in order for you to be touched and to learn and to grow. And so I don't want anyone to feel condemned tonight. Just take it as a lesson learned. There's no such thing as a failure, only a lesson learned, all right? And, Natasha, one thing I got to say before we go to commercial break is that I
I just want to applaud you, you know, for not following what you felt was, quote unquote, that looked right in the church. You know what I'm saying? You
right.
spoke about it, and you did what the Holy Spirit told you to. You didn't just do it because it looked good or it sound good. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You did what God wanted you to do, and I know, because I've been there, sometimes the assignments that God give us, they're not the most comfortable ones.
So true.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, but we have to do it and be obedient, and God will bless us for that. So we will be right back, like I said, as Natasha on the second half will speak about what she did, you know, for those of you just joining us, and give us some pointers for those of you who may have fallen short of the glory of God, and you know, you want to get right back on you want to get right on the right track. Woo! Tongue twisted there. And certainly she's going to go over that with us. So we're going to take our quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Y'all definitely keep it locked on the live show on the Internet, Brown Sugar Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is CC Peniston, and Brown Sugar Radio is where I like to chill every Thursday night at 7 p.m. on the livest show on the Internet.
What's cracking? It's the Smoke E. Diggler, and I'm chilling with my girl Brown Sugar on the livest show on the internet, Brown Sugar Radio.
You're listening to Brown Sugar Radio. Brown Sugar Radio. Brown Sugar Radio.
All right, so we are back, and thank you for joining us on your premier choice in internet radio, Brown Sugar Radio. And tonight we have our special guest, the author of Sex and the Saints, Natasha David Walker, teaching us tonight on how to be single, saved, and satisfied. And so the second half of the segment, what we're going to do earlier, for those of you who are joining us now, Natasha talked about how God had to purify her, and she went on a detox in order to get her life back on track with God. And so she's going to give us some pointers tonight on what we can do in order to go through that detox and in order to live a life that is satisfying and not have the pressure of, you know, giving in to sexual temptations. And so welcome back, Natasha, and certainly fill us in on what are some pointers to get us on the right track tonight.
Well, firstly, typically when you are sick of being in that cycle of partying, clubbing all night, if you're into the drug scene or the drinking and the sexing, typically you don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to walk away from this. Somehow, detox is what it is because your body has gotten so full of this junk that it kind of starts pouring from your skin to the extent that, like Jonah, when he was spit out of the belly of the whale didn't gently bring him to shore and allow him to walk out. The Bible says that the whale, the fish, spat him out. When you're done with the world, believe me, usually it's done with you. So we don't come back the way, you know, the stories and the movies make it seem. We make this turnaround. It usually spits us back out. When you think about the prodigal son, he didn't come back, you know, with a few dollars in his pocket, you know, make up his mind and say, you know what, I think I'll go back home. No, he was in the pig pen. He was stinky, dirty, nasty, no food, no money, no friends, no clean clothes, nothing. He had gotten down to zero. And that's what the world does. The devil does it through the world. He strips you. So when I came to myself, as the Bible says about the prodigal son, I was pretty much just tapped out. I was down to nothing, really, in almost every sense of the word. I was down to nothing, but I knew enough about Jesus to know that he would accept me back. This much I remembered. I might not have remembered that I should have been in church on the weekends. I should have been returning my tithe and offering. I shouldn't have been giving my body to someone who wasn't my husband, but I remember that Jesus forgives, and I remember that before I got into that mess, he died for me. So the first step for me was recalling, was remembering, was knowing, believing, and understanding that I had restoration in Jesus. And the first step for me was separating myself from the world. In Revelation, there's a call that goes out, and a lot of people don't read Revelation because it can be a very confusing book, but this much is clear. There is a clarion call in Revelation where God is calling to his people to come out of Babylon. And the word Babylon means confusion. If you're in a relationship and you're laying down with somebody and that man is not your husband, and when you all separate for the day, you wonder whether or not he's with somebody else, or you wonder whether or not you're pregnant, or you wonder whether or not he's giving you a disease, you are in confusion. Come on out. If you are dating a girl and you don't know if this is the kind of girl you need to take home to your mama, and you see the way she dresses, and you know good and well the way she dresses tells a different story than her mouth is telling, and you know when you're not with her, you don't know whether or not she's with someone else, your friends, or just any other guy, or she's playing you, you're in confusion. You need to come out of it. Rule number one, separate yourself from anything and anybody that separates you from God, because you can't have God and the world. The Bible says you cannot drink of God's cup and the devil's cup. So you got to make a decision to walk totally away. I'm talking cold turkey, clean, leave it alone. The first thing I did, I changed my phone number, all right? I got lost. nobody I associated with could find me. And it was good because I needed time with Natasha, and God needed time with Natasha. He couldn't get through to me because the cell phone was ringing or somebody was knocking at my door, or, you know, the alcohol had me just stunned, you know, just not really thinking clearly, or I was so high I didn't really know whether or not it was morning or it was evening. I just wanted another high. And really, for those of you who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, you're just running from the pain. And we all know that once the high wears off, all the pain is still there. Once you come down, everything you were running away from is still there. Your rent's still due. The car note's still due. The light bill is still due. You're still lonely. You're still sad. You still don't know whether or not he's committed to you or he's cheating. So the drugs and alcohol don't do anything but buffer you and just stall you out. You're just buying precious time that you could be saving by thinking clearly. And so I had to separate from the world. And once I was separated, I could hear. God actually began to talk to me. You know, in the Bible, we hear stories about Abraham, how God talked to him one-on-one and how God called him his friend. And I really wanted that, Sugar. I wanted to know what it would be like to be God's friend. And one day I sat down and I thought about it, and I said, you know, what is it to be a really good friend? A good friend listens. They talk to you. They make sure to make time for you in the day. And I said to myself, if I want God to be my friend, I need to be his friend. So I began to talk to him. I listened for him. I made time for him. I shifted my prayer life from our Father which art in heaven, gimme, gimme, gimme. I really, you know, took the punishment I had coming. Because just because you turn away from the lifestyle, it doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer some repercussions. I knew I had to reap what I sowed. And the truth is, as tough as it was, I gritted my teeth and I took it. I can truly say I took it. And I just remember when I was being an enemy of God, he was still protecting me because I'm alive. Surely I can take his fastening now so that he can spank me back into correction. I just gritted my teeth and took it. And the Bible says he spanks those he loves. So I had to believe that God knew what was best. Now, as a parent now, when I spank my daughter, I understand what it means for God to spank those he loves. I don't want my daughter to be a disobedient little girl. I don't want her to grow up and end up, you know, having a child out of wedlock, end up in juvenile, having lots of trouble in the world, not going to work, being a responsible individual. So you know what I do?
Yes.
I spank her now. Because if I don't do it, then the system is going to do it. Nobody takes care for her the way I do. And so God spanked me. Oh, I got the spanking. Some people say, oh, just come on back to God. Everything's going to be all right. Oh, everything is going to be all right. But you still have to reap what you sow. But the beauty about it is many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. No matter what God allows you to go through to cleanse you, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
If you wallow in the mud, it's going to take more than a cup of water and a rinse to get it off. You're going to have to get scrubbed, and scrubbing does not necessarily feel good. So be still and let God do his cleansing work, because only then are you going to be the vessel he needs for the man he prepared for you. And believe me, before you were in your mother's womb, I'm not talking about when you were there, I'm talking before. Jeremiah 1:5, you in your mother's womb. He had already ordained and planned a man or a woman for you. So all these detours we've taken, you're wasting time. Get into relationship with God. Let him reveal to you who you are. You cannot know who you are until you know whose you are. And when you get that relationship with God right, he's going to reveal everything. So the detox for me, first and foremost, was separating from people and things that were not of God, spending time alone with God, and then he began to reveal who I was. Sugar, I felt so good when I started understanding who I was and what I liked. And once I started, you know, realizing what I liked, I began to do things that I like to do by myself. See, and that was a big point, because when a man looks at a woman enjoying herself by herself, she is desirable. So, sisters, for all of you who like to run in packs like wolves, just know that men are intimidated by that anyway. they're hardly going to step to you with your crew. But when you are comfortable in your own skin because you and God are talking and he's leading you in the path of righteousness, which means he's taking you down the path where you have enjoyment even when you're by yourself, all men want you. Married men want you. Oh, yeah, they were there. Okay. Really?
Okay, yeah.
Single men want you. Single men want you. You are desired. People will walk up to you and say, what is it about you? You let them know, Jesus. And
that's
it's a beautiful place when you are happy and by yourself. If you've never been happy alone, then you're not ready to be with somebody else. Because that means you're going to make them miserable. You can only bring to them what you are. So if you're unhappy alone, you're going to be unhappy with them.
See what I'm saying? And I'm mesmerized. I'm just mind blown by the words and the knowledge that you are impacting on us tonight, because I know that it is very, very crucial, you know, to have that detox period that you're speaking of. So, you know, once we've had the steps that you've mentioned, you know, and now we're ready, you know, we're whole again, you know what I'm saying? We're purified by the grace of God, you know, then you can begin to live that life that is satisfying as a single male or woman. And I think that it's important to make sure that we have that one-on-one time with God. Every morning before I get up, you know, I pray and I let God know that I'm grateful for his presence and thank him for waking me up another day and getting me started. And, you know, those Thanksgiving prayers go a long way. You know what I'm saying? It makes a difference in your day when you get up and you're full of energy and thanksgiving in your heart. And I agree with you as far as one very, very important fact you mentioned. We cannot keep going to God with this wish list. We have to go to God, you know what I'm saying, with praise and thanksgiving in our heart and let God know that, you know what, Lord, I praise you no matter what I'm going through. In spite of, I'm still going to give you the glory. I don't care how bad it looks. Because ultimately, I know what kind of God that I serve. You know, there's been times where I know people have looked at me crazy because of the type of faith that I have, you know, and they like, Sugar, I don't understand. How is God going to do this for you? This situation looks impossible, but I serve a God where all things are possible. So I truly, truly, you know, feel where you're coming from, and I just want for you to know that that is so important for us as Christians, you know, that we put that time and develop a relationship and an intimacy with God, you know. Stop always asking God to do so much for us. What have we done for him? Okay? have we done?
Before we get off there, I just wanted to let your listeners know, if they go to my website, and it's the title of the book, www.sexandthesaints.com, they can read some of the excerpts from the book. Each of the chapters is entitled after the author. One is 7-Eleven, and it was named that because this girl got into prostitution, and she called herself 7-Eleven because she was open all night. There's a chapter, yeah, it's deep. There's a chapter called A Gigolo and a Gentleman, and this story is about a young man who spent some time in the incarceration system, and he learned from the old heads while he was in prison how to manipulate women. And based on his story, most young girls really need to read it because you're going to run into a gentleman who's also a gigolo. Sheba is the story of beauty, as Sheba in the Bible is significant because of her beauty, but there's some trickery in beauty in terms of being deceived by beauty and what looks good. Story of a woman who married a man who turned out to be a homosexual. And so we know a lot of that's going on, so you might want to check that out. Rainbow, obviously, the homosexual community uses the rainbows as their symbol. Story of a woman who was married, beautiful woman who said, I'd never do this, I'd never do that, married to a man making great money, got caught up and ended up in a relationship with a woman. And, of course, Crooked Man is the story of a man. Obviously, he's crooked because he's not going the right way. He's not straight. He tells his story, and it's very touching. He lived in the homosexual lifestyle, and he ended up getting involved because he was abused as a child, and he talks about the struggles he had as a young man growing up being confused, and so we called it Crooked Man. And of course, there's a story called Star, and Star talks about her trail in life of always knowing that God was calling her for something special, but just being disillusioned because she wanted to be the star that the world recognizes as a star more than the star for God. And I just want to say in closing, women ask me all the time, how do I get a man? And here's the scripture I use. Jesus said it best, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
Girl, you got to do is lift Jesus up.
You be the Jesus that you want everybody else to know about and see. And believe me, so many, not just men, people will just be drawn to you. And God will see you will have your pick, not just one. You will be able to choose what you want. Because when you lift him up, when you lift him up, he honors you because you remember what is most important, and that is you were not created to glorify and to fulfill yourself. We were created to give God praise. And I just appreciate you allowing me to come and testify tonight.
Anytime. I'm upset we out of time, okay? I'm like, man, my show's about to be over. Tasha. Girl, you have blessed my soul, and certainly you've gotten excellent reviews in the chat room. The listeners are thrilled with the information that you have shared with us tonight, and so I would love to have you back anytime. You make a part two book, but before we go, do you have a Facebook or a Twitter account or any of those social links you'd like to share with us?
Yes, Sex and the Saints is the same as the book title. And, of course, if you go onto the website, you can send me requests for the book as well as send me questions or queries or make requests for me to come to your church or your youth group or your sisters' meetings and just talk and commune one-on-one so we can get a little deeper. And, again, I certainly want to emphasize that HIV is the number one killer of young African-American women. We cannot allow this to desecrate our community because it is totally preventable. If we just walk in the word, we're safe. You're safe.
That's it. Oh, wow. Well, man, I don't want to let you go. We got to look. I got to talk to you off the air. We got some more talking to do, girl. Okay, look. Okay.
I appreciate you bringing me on.
So much. Absolutely. And definitely, you know, like I said, we will connect and have you back on the show because we got to do a part two. We got to do a part two. Maybe 6 months from now, something. I got to bring you back because you have been so informative and so powerful tonight. Continue to let God use you. And like I said, keep doing what you do. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you,
so much.
Tasha.
And likewise.
Just beautiful. Beautiful.
Praise God. And good night to all of your listeners out there.
Good night.
I love you. Love you from the
top. All right. God bless. Okay, so there it is. We have awesome Natasha, just awesome, awesome. I know that she has touched every single one of you, and definitely get that book because that book is, if you didn't hear that, the expert she just wrote, I see Space Poet, some of you just coming through tonight. You want to check out this archive, okay? This topic tonight is just mind-blowing. You've got to listen to the archive. Then we have, the end time. Thank you for joining us. Wow, we got so many listeners that are coming through tonight, and we're done. You got to check out the archive segment because this show is a must hear. You got to listen to it. Real quick, for all of my listeners, we will not have another show until September 2nd, all right? September 2nd is the next show, and we're going to have the powerful Deborah, who's going to be on. She's going to teach us on how to build financial wealth and a stable future, okay? And she is just another powerhouse in her own right. And so come back on September 2nd, 7 p.m., and she is just going to let us know what we need to do in order to get our money right and get our lives back on the right track, all right? And so thank you so much, each and every one of you, for joining us tonight. We have to close. I don't want to go, but, man, oh, absolutely, Cheese Biscuit. Get her on time next time so you can catch the beginning. But it's all good because that's why I love Brown Sugar Radio, because you can always catch the archive segments and where we keep it live, raw and uncut. So without further ado, like I said, we're going to go ahead and close for tonight. Definitely check out that archive segment because, honey, it was a message that will just certainly ignite your soul. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and go tonight. I love each and every one of you. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment is extraordinary. You guys, make it a fantastic night. And remember what Tasha said, okay, that if you lift Jesus up, you will draw all men unto you. Good night and be blessed.
Brown Sugar Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio.
That's where it's happening. The most impressive show.
On Internet Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio. You don't want to miss a segment of excitement.
We have the hottest celebrities, interviews, and gossip. Breathtaking topics. The latest fashion.
Health and beauty tips.
Underground hip-hop. And R&B.
And artists to make you groove. And the best fans to chat with.
Come and chill with the girl Brown Sugar every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I'm going to take my time so I can get a sensual seduction.